2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. We're that far in the chapter 21, and we'll try to close that out if we can, down through verse 26. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and obviously it's a reference to what we've been studying in chapter 2, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared to every good work. And we had a pretty good lesson on the two types of vessels that are found in the body of Christ, or if you please, the church today. And everybody fits into one of those two categories. He says, flee also youthful lust. And he goes on and builds the foundation as to what he wants him to do here. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. I'll get to that point, but I think about all the things that I've had to deal with in the ministry as a preacher, a pastor of 18 years, and then the rest of my time I've spent in evangelism. It's patience, gentleness, because I just wasn't made that way. And so I have to work on that all the time. And still, even at this age, at 70 years old, still have to work on that. So, but anyway, let me go on. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and there's plenty of folks like that. They're their own worst enemy. He says, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And what did we say? It's the truth. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. When we go seek direction, instruction, when we go seek wisdom, when we go seek knowledge, it's the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. So we're about the Word of God. When we teach, it's the Word of God. When we preach, it's the Word of God. That's not so much our opinion on the Word of God, because the Word of God's written in such a manner that when it's just spoken, it has an effect, because the Holy Spirit is connected to it, and He does some of the teaching, 90% of the teaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe, but we're just the mouthpiece. We're just the mailman. This is the letter. Watch that last verse. And that they may recover themselves. And he's talking to Christians here and people that, Timothy, you're going to deal with as a pastor in the church. And there's no pastor alive worth his salt that won't tell you, yes, one of the biggest struggles in any church is bringing people along spiritually in the Lord, seeing them grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, just like a family, just like a child, grow up in God and actually become a part of functioning, viable part of ministry. It's so hard. But watch, he says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. You say, oh, that's lost people. No, that's saved people. The devil, man, he wants to lasso you. He wants to rope you. He wants to tie you. He wants to imprison you, cripple you, hurt you, scar you. And he says, who are taken captive by him at his will. He's still at it today. So back up here in verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and I thought of verse 19 that we discussed last week. Verse 19 there, it says to depart from iniquity. So basically, in a nutshell, he's telling young Timothy, keep yourself clean. Stay, get away from sin. Get away from iniquity. Then he lays it out and spells it out so we can. A lot of people say, well, that's not sin to me. Man, don't get me going on that. It might not be sin to you, but over there in the book of Corinthians, if I understand the teaching there, and Jeremiah's been on in the book of Corinthians on the things that make a brother stumble, what might be okay for you, you might be causing somebody else to go totally haywire. So you got to be careful what you do. So verse 21 in our text, if a man therefore purge himself from these. Now, anytime you ask somebody to do something, especially when it boils down to laying something down that you're messing with, they don't like it. And if you preach a little bit on separation, they don't like it. Whether you preach a little bit on sin, they don't like it. You preach a little bit on their sin, they think somebody told you all their sins, and man, they say, what is that? That's a child of God that's struggling, just like Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, where Paul talks about the battle that you're going to have in the flesh once you get saved. The flesh don't get saved, as was well spoken the last time somebody preached here. We've talked, I remember. So here, if a man therefore purge himself of these, when you talk about purging, you're talking about, well, that word is used in the medical profession. It's used in the biblical sense here, and it just means getting rid of waste or things that hurt you. So if a man therefore purge himself of these, people say, well, these, he didn't spell anything out there. Oh, he does. He's not silent on what he's talking about here. And so that'd be sins of the flesh, sins of the thoughts, sins of any kind. And brother, because your flesh don't get saved, and because the heart of man is desperately wicked, the scripture says, who can know it? That thing will fight you tooth and nail, keep you from serving, keep you from getting the blessing you need, keep you from getting in church. And so he tells young Timothy, you're going to have to fight this as a man of God. I don't know a man of God any place all my life that won't tell you, yeah, it's a battle. You know, and that battle's in the mind, and the devil makes sure he works on your mind. And if the next thing you know, you'll let your heart get hardened. And God don't want it that way. So he's warning Timothy. And this is a good lesson and good doctrine for the church. So sins of the flesh, sins of the thought, sins of any kind, if a man purge himself from these, the Bible says in verse 20, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And we were talking about those two vessels, just two kinds of vessels spoken of in the church. A vessel unto honor and a vessel unto dishonor. One's gold and silver, and one's wood and earth. And I think anybody in their right mind, why would they want to be a vessel of wood or earth? Unusable, unvaluable, invaluable, not valuable, rather. But wouldn't you rather be gold? Then we entertain those thoughts of people that are self-deceived. They think they are gold. Just listen to them 4 or 5 minutes. Say, yeah, man, God needs me. Boy, he just couldn't function without me. There's a problem right there. And we talked about that a little last time. So here he says, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And that's our striving. We want to bring men, women, and children along to the point where they're of good value in the house of God and good service for the glory of God. Plenty to do in this wicked day and age that we live. And one has to but step outside the confines of our comfortable churches. And he knows we have our own mission field right here. As the city of Seattle struggles, and the city of New York struggles, and Atlanta is now struggling, and now down in Florida, they're struggling. And you know what I'm talking about. The value system in America, the Christian value system, the moral value system in America has devaluated. It's just fallen apart. And I'm not here to try to speak on a national level, because it's you and I here today, but you are abreast of what's going on. And you say, oh, it's us. It's systematic. It's all from black or white. You know, there's racist cops and all. No, it's not. It's about sin and letting stuff go. No moral compass and no spiritual compass. And we don't need God in our schools, and we don't want God. It's about that. We're the only light this world sees. So we always entertain open-air campaigning. You say, why? Because it's a right that our Second Amendment affords us. And we go out in the street and we sing songs like you heard this morning. We play our instruments. You say, why? Because we're different. We're pilgrims and strangers. We're just passing through. And it's the kind of vessel God said we're supposed to be. And we work outside of the church trying to do those things that's pleasing to God. Yeah, we kind of stand out. Yeah, people get mad. Yeah, I've had police officers get right up in my face and say, you can't say that. And I took my permit and said, I can say that for 1 hour. And then they look at you and say, well, you're going to jail. Cuff me. Portsmouth, Ohio. Bruce and I stand on a street corner, and I was preaching, and the cop, state trooper, what was he doing in the city limits? I don't know. We was on the Roy Rogers Esplanade, and Bruce kept preaching. He said, go over and see what he wants. And I went over to the car. He said, get in. Just two of us. I got in. And we drove. He drove me. I figured I was going to jail. I didn't know. I drove around the block. He turned right again. About third, he finally said something. He said, what do you guys think you're doing? I said, preaching on the street? Amen. He said, well, that's what I thought. But he said, we had a complaint. And I happened to be right here. So I thought I'd hear it from the horse's mouth. He took all around it, turned me out, and there's Bruce looking at me. Where'd you go? What happened? I said, well, that guy happens to be saved. Thank God. And he let me go. Say what? But that's what's wrong with our nation. It's not a, used to be a Christian nation. We want to say it's a Christian nation, but man, oh, let me get off on that. Opposed to a vessel of dishonor. He shall be a vessel unto honor, opposed to a vessel of dishonor. Nobody should want to be a vessel. Y'all, everybody, every child of God ought to want to be a vessel fit for the master's use, silver or gold, that you could maybe say one word that would help some way, one smile, one handshake, something, one track, one something someplace in the course of your everyday life that wouldn't be vain or void like earth. Like the dishonorable vessel. So verse 21, look again at the next part of that. He says, sanctified and meet for the master's use. We're pretty busy in our lives doing what we want to do. What about what God wants us to do? He wants us to do something. And we don't belong to ourselves any longer. We belong to the Lord. But boy, that's a hard one to get across. Every waking moment you have, every moment you're asleep, belongs to God. Oh, I got to have some time. I understand, and I know about family. I know about jobs. I got all that. But in the balance of our heart, the thing that balances us with the Holy Ghost of God, we belong to Him, and we ought to be pleasing His sight, and we ought to want to do those things. If we view the whole picture that are pleasing to God, our life ought to revolve around that. So, sanctified and meet for the master's use. The very word sanctified, and we had a lesson on that. I think was it Wednesday night you spoke on that, Jeremiah? It's okay. I can't remember either. But one of you give the difference between spiritual sanctification and physical sanctification, and we were talking about had a pretty good lesson along those lines with what he was developing. And so here the word sanctify means set apart to holiness or pure. The indication is God will not use you if you are not set aside for His holiness, sanctified, a vessel unto honor. Now that causes another question to arise. Well, man, he said, I know a lot of folks, everybody ain't on the same spiritual level. That's right. They're not. There's some folks that maybe aren't so spiritual, but man, they got a ministry and they're out doing it for God. Did you ever think maybe they're saying they're doing it for God and maybe they're really not doing it for God? They're just working in the energy of the flesh. Oh no, Brother Phil, that's no way that could ever be. No, there's a lot of that going on out here. That's why the structure and the backbone of the church and Christianity is so weak. There's so many things accomplished in the energy of the flesh, and we just say, oh, God told me to do this. I doubt seriously if God ever told you to do that. Especially if there's a dollar bill hooked to it somewhere. Amen. So, sanctified, oh, they're set aside to do what they want to do, but not sanctified to holiness. I read a book last week. I had two emails this week. What was the name of that book? And I already sent that off, but it was In Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And a lot of people don't want to read anything Tozer said because he was an Alliance preacher. He wasn't Baptist. Look, he said some good stuff. And it will make you think. So I'm sitting on the front porch this morning going through my notes and thinking and pulling up some other things. And so I got on these quotes of E.M. Bounds. And Jeremiah quoted him the other night and had a thing. He's the guy that writes all the stuff on prayer. And I thought, man, you know, that's a problem right there. If you don't pray, you're going to be in trouble in a hurry. So the word sanctified means just set apart to holiness, pureness for God. And, of course, we had a lesson on the spiritual side of that thing and then the physical side of that thing. A lot of what's going on today is not of God, is what I'm trying to say. It's religious. It's pious. It might even be good, but without holiness, and it comes out of unclean vessels, that's in the church, and context here was church things, people going through the motions, but without the power of God. Kind of reminds you of Samson. And Christians get themselves in that kind of mess. I've been there before. You've been there. Anybody worth their salt? Yeah, man, I've struggled with that. I got to get past that. And you go on. So here, verse 22, look, and then he really boils this thing. Flee also youthful lust. I've been asked before, what's youthful lust? Well, there's a lot that I could be occupied with as a young man. Have you ever said this? You only live once, only young once. You ever hear anybody say that? See, as they get ready to dive off the edge of some bridge someplace, you know, and huh? Or jump off some cliff with a hang glider strapped to their back, you know. Or get on that Ferris wheel or get on that crazy ride that makes you puke when you get off of it. You know, only young once. What's that about? Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg on youthful lust. Because when you get a little older, you don't hang glide, amen? You know, I'm not jumping off the bridge there at the foot of the dam to see how deep the water is. Youthful. But when you were a kid, you'd do things like when you were young and you said things, well, you only live once, you got to die of something. Yeah, you've said all that. Look, when you get saved, especially if you're going to be in the ministry, you're going to have to lay some of that stuff. I wonder how fast this car will go. You better get on away from that thing. there's a lot that I can be occupied with as a young person. The world is open and full of possibilities. And I got that from somebody. And you'll hear young people say, oh, well, I'm young. I want to do all I can while I'm young. And you have to consume it upon your own lust. Got it. No place for a lot of that stuff in the ministry. I know when kids are young, they're foolish. That's why they got mommies and daddies. That's why when daddy says, I don't think I'd try that. And mommy says, go ahead. If you hurt yourself, I'll kill you. You know, it's just... Because the kids just don't think right, man. Could I submit this unto you? A lot of young Christians don't think right either, amen. So people are going through the... Here, let me get in the right place. But the truth is that I'm only young once. That's a familiar saying. How do I use the opportunities that I have been given? Question. Well, not... youthful lust, things that you might consume it. And we could broaden that spectrum. A lot of people, you've heard the saying, well, sow your wild oats while you're young. Yeah. How's that working out for you? Huh? Well, I've heard that all my life. We raised our families as I remember Dave when all your kids were home and they were their family. They had 5, 6 kids, something like that. And see, we had a bunch of kids and we modeled our family after their family. And I remember something, bro, I shouldn't tell this on you. He said, what do you think? He was disciplining kids or something. He was being funny about it, I remember. He said, what do you think them legs are on that table for? You rip them table legs off, you... No, we didn't do that, but you know what I'm saying. there's a hierarchy in the home. You say, why? Because kids will just do whatever they want to do. And mom and dad got to say, no, it stops here. The buck stops here. God's the same way with you. And Paul's simply telling Timothy, flee youthful lust. He said, you know, God chases every son in whom he loveth. You want to mess around and act like an adolescent Christian, then go ahead and you're going to get in trouble. Amen. So here you might reason a lot of things. But Paul writes this, let no man despise your youth. We understand that. Somebody's going to say, well, Paul said, let no man despise their youth. I understand that. But that wasn't in the perspective of doing lustful, youthful things that don't make a lot of sense in the Christian world. That was the fact that you're young, dedicated to the Lord, and maybe in the eyes of some older person, you looked a little too young to be called to preach, a little too young. I was 25 when God called me to preach. And I got a lot from a lot of older people. Well, you know, you got all that zeal now. We'll see how you're doing 40 years from now. Well, 44 years, 50 years. He was young when he started. And we're still going. So here, that no man despise thy youth, but be an example to the believer in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So the verse defines itself in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And we discussed that verse weeks ago when we were in 1 Timothy. So it's okay to be young and serve God. It tells Timothy was a young man. Flee youthful lust. And he's referring to the worldly, carnal, sinful things that all young people want to get involved in. He also writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lust. That's where we're at today. So those two verses kind of go hand in hand. What are youthful lusts? I've been asked that so many times, and I'm trying to cover it a little bit. The term youthful lust can encompass many areas. The lust for money. How about that one? Young person, yeah, I'm going to make a fortune. Yeah, okay. Of the desire for honor and recognition. I'm going to be somebody. You just watch and see. Yeah, okay. Been a lot of young kids. Watch this. Head to Nashville when they were young trying to. How many times have you heard Pastor Tom say that? But you say, what is just youthful lust? The world has it. Now watch. The desire for honor and recognition, the lust for power. People want power. And not least of all, attraction to the desires for another person or people. Lusting after other people. Yeah, that's part of it too. Youthful lust. When it concerns this particular lust, there can be a whole slew of impure fantasies, thoughts, and ideas that bombard the mind. So when Paul says flee youthful lust, he's talking about the whole spectrum. Put that stuff out of your mind and do what you're supposed to for God. So being attracted to someone, a lot of people say, oh, I'm not supposed to look at anybody. I'm when I'm young. And, you know, young people are always thinking about who they're going to get married to and that kind of thing. So being attracted to someone isn't wrong in itself. But attraction is often deceptive and more often than not leads to my own lust and desires directing my actions instead of genuine love for the Father. And you got to watch that thing. The result of living according to my lust, people say, well, I'm just going to do what I want. The Epicurean theory, eat, drink, and be merry, is all wrapped up in self-gratification. It says, allowing thoughts and ideas that are not pure to live and take up residence in my heart and mind is sin. Man, you get to thinking on that a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You thinking about that stuff all the time, thinking about that stuff, thinking about money, thinking about power, and who you're going to be and where you're going to climb the social ladder to, that thing will eat you up. Flee youthful lust. And what does sin do? It separates me in my spirit from God. It ruins my relationship with others. It hinders, corrupts, and destroys at every turn. Why do you say, flee youthful lust? Man, There's a lecture there. There's a message there. There's a lesson there. There's a lot there to this young man. Our help comes from the Lord. Now, I don't want to give you all that negative stuff and not give you a little something positive. Isaiah, the prophet of God, lived in a wicked time. The nation of Israel was in turmoil. And he prophesied, and he had some good things to say. And he said this in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. Say, what is that? When a child of God gets a hold of God, he can set his face like a flint. And he can be just like the three Hebrew children. They can throw you in the fire and you ain't going to bend, you ain't going to burn, you ain't going to bow. And you don't care if it's death you're staring at. You say, why? Well, you got an attitude about that. Yeah, amen. You want to know how to flee youthful lust? Get an attitude about that thing. So, verse 22, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, he gives you the flip of the side, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Those are all good, positive, beneficial, spiritual, holy things. The opposite of these would be the things to flee. So, you want to flee unrighteousness, amen. You want to flee the lack of faith, flee hate. A lot of people deal with hate, that warring spirit, no peace with them that call out the Lord out of a pure heart. But then verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. A little help there as he deals with people, and there's always somebody that's got a question or something, and you know, be careful. A lot of folks don't think through the question before they ask. A lot of people say they have a question, but they're just making a statement and that sort of thing. So you say, what is it? Well, that causes a little strife, a little contention among the church and the brethren and things. So he's given a little direction. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And it always does. I don't know why. That's that old stuff. We don't live in the day of Paul. We live today. Yeah, but you do well to practice the things that Paul practiced. Amen. Strife in the church can be avoided if we follow the scripture. Verse 23, verse 24, down through verse 26 actually sums it all up, as you said there. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. And I've struggled with that even as a young man. Just, why can't they get it? Well, they said they had it, and they went out there and fell back in sin. Well, that's pastoring. That's just dealing with folks and people. Remember, the Lord left the 99 to find that one and brought him back into the fold. And boy, that's a lot said there to that young preacher. In meekness, instructing those that oppose himself. Meekness, the quality of the man Moses. Meekness is not weakness. Amen. It's wisdom. And those that oppose themselves, some folks oppose themselves and don't even know they oppose themselves. And it's very evident to the pastor, you know, because he just watches you come and watches you go. And boy, that says a lot, doesn't it? So watch out. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. And that's all any good preacher and any good teacher wants, is folks to love God, accept the truth and the knowledge of the scripture, and enjoy God and become a vessel unto honor. They can really serve God. Watch, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And the indication, there's a lot of folks that get in the snare of the devil. Save folks here. Not just lost people. Save folks who are taken captive by him at his will. Boy, the devil's got some power today, and that kind of sums it up. And I'm not going to go any further. We're done with that, and that'll let me start the next chapter fresh in verse 1. But a lot there, and I'm by no means being exhaustive to this. I'm just giving you an outline, kind of, and going through a few things here and looking at them. But welcome to church this morning. And you see a visitor in, say howdy. And if there's some folks coming in for the preaching hour, which there will be, make our visitors welcome, and it's good to have Brother Dave. I know him as an evangelist. It's hard for me to call you pastor, brother. I know him as an evangelist. So, but Pastor Dave, Evangelist Dave Jones, so is in today. Good, and his wife Donna. And say hello to my kids, too. They're in. My grandkids are in from the Mojave Desert down there. And I think Jordan's getting ready to buy land this next time. He's been raising money for a plot of land. They're going to build a new church. And they've got their eye on a new national man, young man who they're praying now that he'll take the work of the church. And so a lot going on the mission field right here in your backyard. Amen, amen, just good stuff. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to preach and to teach your word. Bless our service, our singing, our pastor, Brother Dave, as he preaches, and the song service, the specials, everything that's done. May it honor thee and glorify thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.